All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
But you've got to go on.
Slag off.
You've changed, man. It used to be about the music.
I said slag off.
It is July 1990. People are watching Roseanne and baseball, a dangerous combination when Roseanne Barr sings the national anthem this month, signaling the end of feminism and like, I think this is how Fox News got started. But you don't care about all of that because you've been humiliated by that booby bird asshole way harder than the country was shamed by a comedienne who made herself singing the anthem an off-key crass punchline, which should not be a surprise to anyone who knows who she is. You know, maybe this is a sign to rise above all the drama and the haters and the stupid shit people get so worked up about. Who cares some boy showed off your bra? At least now everyone's thinking about your tits, your untouched, pristine bosoms ready to heave, to be handled, admired, perfect new boobs in the prime of your youth. These are days you'll remember, never before and never since. I promise. You know what else you'll remember? Every friggin' symbol and suggestion in this multi-page insert of your favorite magazine and singular guide to your cultural maturity. Don't believe me? Come find out. Yes, it's time to...
Listen to Sassy!
Did I hear a 10,000 Maniacs reference slipped in there?
Maybe you did. Where did that?
I'm twirling. It's the only dance move I have.
I like my Buster Browns and not much else.
Oh no, young girl's crying.
Really crossed into Kermit territory a little bit. We have not done this in months. We want to first thank you all for your patience. Delay in this episode actually getting to you. Dave and I had a very busy couple of weeks. We had to say goodbye to one of our sweet doggies, and then we both got sick, and we are still kind of sick, and yet we had to sneak this in because one of us is going to India, and it's not either Dave or me. So, Pam, do you want to talk about what you're going to be doing?
I'm going with the Film Independence Program, Global Media Makers. We're doing a mentorship with young female and female-identifying screenwriters from around India. I'm filled with vaccines. I went to they suggested a passport health place. Mm-hmm. And this lady was like, what? You don't have any of these? And the next thing I know, I'm drinking live cholera. I'm waiting. My secret special superhero power should be here any day now.
Are you sure that's about your trip and not just an experiment that she was doing?
I might have been upselled is what we decided in the end, because I talked to other people who were like, why would you take that? And I was like, she said.
You can take this cholera stuff or you can take cholera plus. It's up to you, but I'd recommend the plus.
It's true. It occurs to me now that Dave was like, really, let me guess, you let them give you 8 vaccines because they told you it would make your skin shiny? Mm.
Do you know what ultra diphtheria is? No. Well, don't worry about it, but you need this. Okay. Okay, mommy.
It's true. I couldn't get my doctor retired, and it has caused me to be unable to get the records before a certain date. And I'm just having to do everything all over again that I ever had to do. Blood work. They got to go find stuff. And so they're like, better Hep A now than hepatitis later.
Here's what's going on in your head, Pam. I just figured out with all your drug stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody tells you something's wrong with you or something you should take, they are blank mummy in your mind. It's sort of like an Inside Out Pixar deal. Mm. And that person was Needle Mummy. Needle Mummy tells you what to do, and you do what Needle Mummy says.
Have you not learned from all these years of Sassy that it's just Sassy Mommy? It's just Sassy Mommy.
It all comes down to that.
Yes. It's like, what am I supposed to have? What do I not know? Because I'm in some small town and sassy is the only way that I know. That's the only place that ever told me to put sunscreen on. And they were right. Also, I handled them well. No. So that's because of all my vitamins.
All right. Well, shall we get into the issue?
Yes, please.
All right.
Let's do it.
What now? I think we've flagged almost every single item in this month. What now?
It's a good one.
I'm up first. Yo, Christina Kins. Thanks for sending us to lunch with the English heavy metal band Little Angels. It was so thrilling. In fact, we wish you had been there instead of us to listen to them bare their artistic souls. We're true to ourselves, they said. We're honest about ourselves. We've always done what we wanted to do. What is it that they do? Not much, it seems to us, except sound like AC/DC with keyboards. Worst crime of all, there wasn't a pretty face between them.
Yeah.
We feel we should be duly compensated with Nikki Sixx and Prince interviews. Love you, babe. And Elle and Jessica, the intern. Ooh, and yet we see a picture of this band and it's like, okay, I see where they're coming from. Like, if they were boring and not cute, it's a terrible combination and probably made for an extremely unbearable lunch.
There's something about the idea of an English heavy metal band that I find funny. I feel like heavy metal bands are either American or they're Scandinavian, and I feel like nobody else should try it. And the fact that they're called Little Angels and they're a heavy metal band just like seals the deal. Like usually this kind of copy, I'd be like, come on, guys. Mm. But it feels like maybe they deserve it. Maybe these are terrible people and we wish them ill.
Isn't Motorhead English?
I don't know.
I don't either. Moving on. Whoop-pow.
Everyone wants one. Everyone needs one. Three lucky winners will receive a copy of the script to this summer's Cowboy sequel. Everyone wants one. Everyone needs one. A Young Guns 2 script. Sure. Signed by Christian Slater, Kiefer Sutherland, and Lou Diamond Phillips. All you have to do is name which cast members from the original Young Guns are not in the sequel and vice versa. This is too much work already. Mm-hmm. Send your answers and bribes to sequelhell@sassyonetimesquare.com. You can go on eBay these days and get a replica of this prize for $19.99.
Can't you just infer who's not in it from who's in it?
This is what I'm saying.
Based on the original cast, why are you making me do double work?
Why do I got a vice versa?
Work smarter, not harder.
Come on.
Who wants to read a script?
I'll tell you, nobody, Tara.
I guess I should have said no offense. Then they have a little item about Jane Child, someone that I had completely forgotten their existence. And the whole blurb is about, like, she has an extremely alternative presentation and yet her music is extremely bland. And that's the only thing I know about her. And it's true. She had, like, crazy springy hair. She had one of those, like, nose ring connected to an earring chain situations.
So you don't lose your ear.
Okay.
You know when you go to Lollapalooza and you're worried about somebody pickpocketing your ear? And so you put a chain on it to make sure you don't lose your ear.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah. That's what they're for.
We could not stop staring at her, though, at the time. This video, like, I just remember being, have you seen the chick? Her nose ring goes to her earring and people couldn't handle it.
Yeah. It was a time. She tried a thing. I'm going to say it didn't work out.
She's from Toronto, Tara.
I was going to say. And I recently learned she's Canadian.
That song plays in my head a lot still.
Ooh, you make a night feel good.
These pictures of her where she's just got the old broom hair on top and then all the, I don't know what they are, dreads or whatever hanging down. That's,
yeah, braids.
And then there's a picture of her much older with trying to pull off the same hairdo and it's not, I don't think that's real hair.
Perhaps.
I was going to say she's not pulling it off and I'm like, oh, well, maybe.
Okay, I gotta turn my head sideways. After she's not crazy, the story about... Oh, no, I can't. I gotta turn my head sideways. The font is red on black. Sassy did not expect us to be looking at this in a menopausal era. This is too hard.
Do you want me to read it? Because I have it turned.
No, I don't even care. Whoop-ow. Whoop-ow. All right. Better active today than radioactive tomorrow. Okay. The Toxic Avengers is a group of 25 teenagers in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn who are working to close down Radiac, which you could completely tell me is from The Simpsons and I would buy it, a nearby storage warehouse for the radioactive and toxic materials. Since they were formed 2 years ago, got that name from that cult movie, the Toxic Avengers have gone on to protest marches and have staged two of their own. This place still exists, and I guess now they've just sort of made it a part of Brooklyn, like, and that's where we keep our radioactive waste. And, yeah, people are still trying to make them talk about how it's a place filled with radioactive waste, and the place is like, where do you want us to put it? Which is a very New York relationship.
Look, they put a sign outside the building that said, no basketball play. It's good enough. You know, Don't go here. It's fine. Fine. Yeah. And now, let's acknowledge the 4th of July. According to a survey of 4 to 6-year-olds conducted by Play School, 15% of those polled think Debbie Gibson designed the American flag. I mean, I assume it's a multiple choice. I would love to think that these kids just pulled Debbie Gibson out of thin air. Mm-hmm. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, I would like to know, what was the purpose of this poll? Like, what are we testing, the civic knowledge or the, you know, history knowledge of actual kindergarten children?
It was for their Betsy Ross playset.
Okay.
Their workshop in it, see if there's a market for it.
Fair.
It may be the Play School runs the Darndest Things report that comes out every year right before Christmas to remind you.
They're just gaming the system then. That's what this is. They're just setting these kids up for failure. Boo, Play School, boo.
Okay, this month's Sassy Glossary, it's definition number 27, sponsored/unsponsored, really technically two definitions. This is an adjective. If someone has a girlfriend or boyfriend, they are sponsored. The word came to us, as is often the case, through our contacts in freestyle biking. Okay. We're the best riders to get sponsored by bike companies.
Somebody didn't watch Rad.
I want this phrase back in the constant. This is great.
Yeah, this is great. This is one of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love a loving relationship reduced to a transactional term. Fantastic.
But also, it's a pretty good one of like, look at him. Is he currently unsponsored?
Yeah.
Because I'd like to slap my name all over him.
I'd wear his decal.
Yes. Perfect.
Have you seen Rad, Pam? The movie Rad?
I feel like I saw Rad at the time. Wow. But I have no memories.
It's worth a rewatch. I mean, it's not a good movie, but it's definitely worth a rewatch because it is earnestly of its time, whenever that was, 84 or something like that, starring a baby Josh Brolin. And it is, I gotta be the biker man. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
There it is.
Is the bank involved or is it bad parents?
I think bad parents of the two.
I think it's more like bad adults in the biking industry, I think, is the main foil.
Fuck yeah.
In Rad. Rad! Bart Simpson slags us off. We thought Bart would be flattered when we asked him to give a quote for our What He Said page this month. But in the grand tradition of teen idols who refuse to do interviews with teen magazines, including Sassy, Bart said he was too busy. What is he waiting for? The cover of Interview? What exactly do you think happened here? If this is just not made up whole cloth, did they actually like call the 20th Century Fox, you know, PR? And they're like, we just don't have time for this. Like,
it's 100% what I imagined is what happened when you asked that you've asked this question. It's funny because all I thought was, there they are in the writer's room. Just immediately it went to like, does anybody know what this, what is this? What is this? Are we going to do this? I'm very busy. We tell them Bart's too busy.
That's right. But it is a little, I mean, okay, it's 1990. Like, this show is still super new.
Oh, it's brand new. Yes.
But it's already a cultural phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I think maybe Do the Bartman is here already or very close to being out. No?
No.
Is that season?
It's 1990. The Christmas special was like Christmas 89.
Oh, that's
right. So it barely exists.
Right. That's right, because they have the weird Neanderthal drawing of Bart Simpson in the magazine here before they got on the design Bible.
Mm-hmm. Sassy was right. This is a real mistake on the Simpsons part.
Well, what I was saying is they were seen to be game for anything, right? Like, the Simpsons was a well-written, funny show at the time, but also it was like at that and the crossroad of crash commercialization where there was $1 billion illegal Bart Simpson shirt industry, never mind the $10 billion legal one.
All of the, yeah, this is before all of that.
Like, I know, but I'm saying it was in their blood.
Oh, I see. To, yes.
Yes, please. More exposure, more everything. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised they didn't do it.
I bet in a couple of months they're offering a signed Simpson script that you can get if you can say who was in Treehouse of Horror Volume 9 and not Volume 10 and vice versa.
Yep.
A promising new album of remakes of lame 70s hits called Guilty Pleasures includes Voice of the Beehive covering the Partridge Family. Once again, why do they keep calling songs remakes? They're not remakes. That's what you call movies. They are covers. You have covering later in the blurb. Stop calling them remakes. And The Doors is coming. I only flagged this because they mentioned that Meg Ryan is playing Jim Morrison's girlfriend, although I think she's looking a little old for the role. Wow! This is like a year and a half, not even. This is like probably a year after When Harry Met Sally. Like, she doesn't look old. She's fine. This movie has other problems. She is not among them. Leave Meg Ryan alone.
Do you really know who I am, Pam? No reason for that to play in my head once a week, too, but it does from The Doors.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This month's one to watch is possibly the biggest miss they've done yet. I did not recognize this guy in context from the time. Has not gone on to do anything. The only thing that's kind of notable is that he was on a teenage soap opera called Tribes. Not to be confused with The Tribe, a very weird post-apocalyptic New Zealand, England, Australian show that Dave and I watched for our sister podcast back in December. This is Scott Garrison, pictured here with a really cute dog. Honestly, the dog super upstages him in this photo because it's cuter than he is, in my opinion. Someone went to the trouble of making a YouTube channel for his soap opera Tribes, and then they seem to have gotten tired of uploading episodes very quickly. And the final episode of said Tribes soap opera aired like the month this issue came out. So he was already on his way toward being not a thing anymore, though he did go straight to 60 episodes of Swamp Thing, which I didn't remember was a show in the 90s either. And his last credit was Two Xenas in 96, and we don't know what's happened to him since. So Scott Garrison, not one to watch, in my opinion. Dave?
One to look for.
Mm.
One to send at a search party.
100% that dog is not a terrier. It says it's a terrier. Look at it. It's not a terrier. It's not even a little bit of terrier. It's like a French bulldog mix or something. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's one of those dogs that all over your house.
We don't get a feature in the pop culture realm this month. We don't get Listen Up. We don't get Watch It. Instead, we get a little supplement. Thank God the person who owned this issue before me kept it bound in the pages of this issue. Don't die of boredom this summer. Multi-pages of the movies, music, and books you should, in sassy editors' opinions, be checking out over the summer. So we start with videos and movies, and they have a key where they have each title is marked by genre, horror, comedy, drama, etc. They also have a legend for potentially embarrassing if viewed with the folks, There Is No Way You'll Guess the Ending, Cute Boy Fest, To Be Seen with a Member of the Opposite Sex, Movie with a Message, Sob Alert, which looks like a noose. It's supposed to be a teardrop. Do Not Eat Before, During, or After This Movie, and Teenagers the Way They Really Are. And having a legend like this is extremely my shit. I love the having this list and then taxonomizing it. Very appealing to the future library employee that was a young Tara Ariano. So we've gone through all of these categories and marked the ones we wanted to comment on. So Pam also says this changed her summer. Pam, you remember this actually guiding your pop culture consumption?
This video's list specifically, I brought up to latest and greatest video. Down the street, would have to would walk to it and grab things, order things. They didn't have everything. So some became...
Wait, your video star was called Latest and Greatest Video?
Isn't that great?
That's pretty great. It's very yellow pages of them, you know?
I feel like there was more than one Latest and Greatest. Maybe it was a Houston chain, someone 720 Sassy Go. But yeah, it's great. So I walked to the Latest and Greatest. There were some I just never saw, and I still remember them from like chasing around with this thing. But this is how I found Great Gardens. Most of the things I've listed on here are because of this. I saw Barbarella, which, what? That's a weird, this is a very weird list. Mm-hmm. Without it, I wouldn't have found John Waters and all of the things that make me weird. But some of them made me very uncomfortable, and Barbarella was one of them. I don't want to see that. It felt like they put one of my dad's movies in here. I remember just being like, wow, it's happening. This is not for me. Mm-hmm. Or any sassy girl. But then they had Birdie, which again was like, oh, wow. You don't get to go to like independent cinema. This feels very like, oh, I'm into indie films. I live in New York. I have coffee. Birdie is just like this tiny little Matthew Modine movie. And I loved it.
When I was young, going through my, I've listened to everything I listen and I really love everybody involved with the Genesis. So I'm going through my Peter Gabriel buying phase. And then I discovered he did the soundtrack to Birdie. And then I bought the soundtrack to Birdie. That was the first time I was like, wah. Soundtracks aren't the same as albums. I don't like this.
Wah. I just want to show you that I completely ripped off this legend for the cover of our yearbook when I was assistant yearbook editor.
Wow.
I mean, I saw it and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Let me capture that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Cool. Out of time. Oh, guys. Out of time.
Wow. Think about it.
They also recommend The Blob. They say do a double feature, see Steve McQueen in the 1958 original, then view the 88 remake with Kevin Dillon, which I happen to remember they reviewed. In fact, I believe it was a Neil review who he was extremely negative about it. Like, what is the truth, Sassy? Is The Blob good or not? I haven't seen either, so I don't know. You tell us. Call us. 720 Sassy Go.
Have you tried just using a chamois?
On The Blob?
Yeah. Mm. Drape it over. Gone. Done. Dawn of the Dead is in here. Dawn of the Dead is one of the few horror movies I genuinely enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's probably because it's a little campy.
Yep.
And it's very of the era of practical effects done dirt cheap. So there's a lot of like, blood is the wrong color. It's like the color of acrylic paint you used to use in grade school, you know, to color the barn. Everything's like a little off, but it is really gross. Have you ever seen this? I know, Tara, I made you watch it years and years and years and years ago.
Yes, I have seen it with you.
But Pan, the crux of the movie takes place in a shopping mall because they figure, well, the shopping mall is a good place to get provisions and we can secure it. And so they do that, this small group. But then eventually a biker gang comes and they crash all the doors and they get in there and they're running all around and doing crazy shit and smashing windows and everything. And one of the guys, for whatever reason, decides he wants to use the free blood pressure machine where you sit down, and you put your hand in a cuff and he does that. As soon as he does that, that's when all the zombies come in. He's so scared. He can't get his hand out of the cuff and they just come in and they just basically open up his stomach right in front of him and start pulling out his intestines right in front of him and start eating them. Fantastic. No notes. It was great. Mm-hmm. There's another part of the movie where there is I think it's a Hare Krishna zombie and he is slowly sneaking up on somebody who's trying to get a helicopter in the air. It's on a pad and he decides the quickest route for the zombie to get the guy is just going a straight line, zombie brains, what are you going to do? And he ends up walking up some boxes, and the higher he goes up on the boxes, the closer he is to helicopter blades that are going around, and his head just slices off like it's deli meat.
Oh,
it's just like, shwink a little bit, shwink a little bit, shwink a little bit, until it gets low enough that it got enough of the brains that it kills him. Again, this is the kind of stuff you want in a horror movie. It's a little campy, it's kind of gross. Yeah. I don't like, oh, it's an evil nun or the dolls come back to life. All these modern horror films. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. Dawn of the Dead. Heavy recommend for me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You like a lot of fun in your horror. Drugstore Cowboy is on here because of this movie. I still don't let or put a hat on the bed. Don't let anyone put a hat on a bed. That's all I remember about Drugstore Cowboy.
What is the thing with a hat in the bed?
Just bad luck.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Don't put a hat on the bed. He really sticks to it, Matt Dillon, if I remember correctly.
What is the song I'm thinking of, but is not? Drugstore
I'm a
Cowboy.
Drugstore Cowboy.
Is that the song?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking.
No, you're thinking
close enough.
Rhinestone Cowboy.
Just don't correct him.
Yeah, it's better when you don't correct me.
There are two films on here I've never been able to find. I forgot about them. But during this 1990 to 1990 internet years, I could not find the movies Gates of Heaven or 2000 Maniacs. Gates of Heaven, this deadpan look at a pet cemetery proves truth is stranger than fiction. Definitely sounds like a film I'd watch right now if it were on Netflix. And 2000 Maniacs is how I ended up finding multiple Maniacs.
And hey, 10,000 Maniacs.
But never 2000 Maniacs. No idea, because it just gives you six swirly marks that means do not eat before, during, or after this movie. So, I don't know.
The Graduate's on this list, and I've never seen The Graduate. Just asking, do I need to see The Graduate? I know it's an American classic and blah, blah, blah. Am I going to watch it in the year 2024 and say, oh, that was pretty good?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's a Mike Nichols movie.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's doing.
If I had a nickel every time I didn't watch a Mike Nichols movie, I'd have a nickel. Nickel. Money.
They also recommend.
Hey, is that guy sponsored?
They recommend The Misfits, of which they say Marilyn Monroe again, this time trying to save lots of wild horses from dog food hunting cowboys. I had no idea that was what The Misfits is about. I mean, I'm sure I read this at the time. I had no recollection that that was the plot of this movie. Huh.
They have Repo Man on here. Important film of youth. Dave, have you seen Repo Man?
I saw Repo Man back when I was a kid at some point. Not obviously at the theaters, but pretty soon after a video, and I was thoroughly confused. I was too young to watch it, and I probably should revisit it.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a cult classic. And I remember kind of thinking like it was interesting, but I didn't quite grok it sufficiently.
Well, to counter your birdie problems, this soundtrack is fantastic. And still fantastic.
I know this was one I meant to watch when I was in my monkeys phase in high school because it was produced by Mike Nesmith, and that was a fact that I knew about it. The two-key guy from the monkeys. Next, we got some music recommendations. The legend here, they add, best at speaker busting volume, dead artist. Wow. Take to a party, music to be alone with, music to be in a car with, great category, and to be heard with a member of the opposite sex. One of the ones that I have flagged, and I did this prep several weeks ago, so it's going to take me a second. Here we go. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Sorry, the album is Searching for the Young Soul Rebels. Dexy's Midnight Runners. Imagine if Otis Redding were British and white. This is the first I have probably ever been aware that Dexy's Midnight Runners had a song other than Come On, Eileen. Wow, the more you know. Good for them.
Peter Gabriel So is on this list.
Woo!
Great pop album. Even the songs that are bad, like at the end of the album where he's like, I'm going to do some weird shit. And it's like, it's weird and it's catchy in that I'm going to do the robot dance alone in my house kind of way. Beep, 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 beep. And then you say the thing, excellent birds. And then you do the robot for a little bit longer. Or the We Do What We're Told song. But still, the rest of the album, solid, you know, hit after hit. It's his pop culture breakout. He's the guy I've seen most in concert somehow. Because I saw him at the Amnesty International concert we talked about.
Yep.
Then I actually went and saw the So tour. Really great show. And then the next time he's around for the Us tour, I saw him. And I was like, all right. You know, and then he started doing old man music. And now he just does old man music. He's got a new album out and it's all old man music, in case you're wondering. Does Peter Gabriel just do old man music now? Yes.
I mean, for him, it's just man music. He can't help it.
Yeah. It's the Brazil Nuts of music.
I have not heard of every album on this, and I didn't have access to most of these things where I was. You know, if it wasn't on Columbia House, I could not get it. So it's tempting to me to try now and find out what is Marquee Moon by Television. Like, they just... you know, sometimes you're like, wait, I thought I was cool. I am not cool. What is Back to Mystery City by Hanoi Rocks? I just don't, but I don't want to listen to, even when I start, number one is Neil Young. I'm like, no, never mind. I'm not going to listen to this list. But maybe I should try. Oh, there's Bruce Springsteen on this list. Every time I think No, look at that. There's a whole UB40 record on here. Van Morrison. Never mind. I see what happened. This is not a list for Pam. Mm. No.
I think I marked about 14 of these that I agreed with out of 50. Finally, we got books, categories for books. Beach reading, sob alert, teenagers the way they really are back. They're going to make you read this one in school sooner or later anyway. Sounds defeatist, but fine. An intellectual workout, and people have tried to ban this. We have a bunch of these marked. My first one is As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner, a book that I think I got as a gift. I don't remember from whom or who thought I should read this book, but I have tried to read it a few times. Did not take. A stream of consciousness hayride with an eccentric Southern family makes it seem like a romp. It isn't. It's heavy, heavy going. And I'm shocked that they're going to make you read it in school sooner or later anyway. I don't know about those curricula. I disagree with this.
This is the other thing that I brought around that summer. I brought it to Katie Budget Books. They did have a lot of these books. And that is how, that was. This is the summer I read Malcolm X, The Awakening, Antonia? Huh. Sometimes you've never said something out loud until the second you do. I read The Bell Jar, Catcher in the Rye, Metamorphosis, Welcome to the Monkey House, Summer 1990. Thank you, Katie Budget Books. Definitely huge influence on my life.
They got Confessions of a Failed Southern Lady, which I think I was lent by our friend John Ramos, I'm going to say 20 years ago, and I still have it. Sorry, John, if you're listening to this and you want it back, let me know. I've never read it.
Can you read the last little line of this review?
Great menstrual scenes.
Isolate, new clip.
They shout out Dicey's Song by Cynthia Voigt. This was a series that I loved. I think I've talked about Homecoming earlier in a previous episode. It's a great series about a girl who's like, her mother basically leaves her and her siblings and she has to look after them. And there was a lot of like logistical stuff that was fascinating to me at the time of like, how would you actually go about this on a day-to-day basis of like getting money, getting food, looking after kids when you have absolutely no resources? It's very good books. Then we got Easy in the Islands by Bob Shakoshis, set in the Caribbean by a writer who lived there. Okay, and not enough information. What kind
you
of book
like pineapple?
Is it? Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, I got her number. I like them pineapples.
Then they recommend a book in which young architect rebels against the world and has a torrid affair. Some philosophy called objectivism is expounded because for some reason, Sassy is telling its readers to go check out The Fountainhead by Ayn Rand. Strong disagree with that one. What the fuck? Which libertarian on this staff snuck this one in?
All we knew at the time about The Fountainhead was the guy who did not date Baby, but dated Baby's sister, liked this book. Yeah. That's all I knew about The Fountainhead until this. I appreciate that it was like, let's look into that.
What does that mean?
In Dirty Dancing. The restaurant in the Catskills.
Oh, it says Dirty Dancing. Got it. Okay.
In the movie Dirty Dancing. Okay, yeah, he's like, you see this? You got to read this book. It's fantastic. It's why he's addicted to her sister.
Yes.
Okay.
They recommend Gorillas in the Mist, but they spell Diane Fossey's name wrong. No E in Diane.
Oh, sorry.
Somehow they think their readers need to be told about a book called The Outsiders. Like, I'm pretty sure they know, but sure. Thank you. All right. Good to know.
Also should be on the, we'll make you read this in school. It's missing the icon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Endless Love is in here. I feel like I wrote about this in Notes to Boys, but I don't look backwards. But anyway, this book was very important. There was a scene in here. How my body responded to literature.
The way you said, I don't look backwards, was so much, I don't have a TV in my house, that it might have been my favorite moment of this half hour of recording.
Yeah, you both had a physical reaction to me saying that, so I know. I'll write that one down. I'll try it again. Yeah, in Endless Love, a couple of things happen. One, he shaves her underarms. That's cool. Like, because it was like a thing where she would never shave again until she hasn't shaved. He hasn't seen her. Oh my God, you guys. And then he also takes out her tampon for some fun.
Well, thanks for coming to my party. And I see you brought some snacks. Can I see the box? Oh, I'm sorry. We don't do refined sugar in this house.
What?
I don't look back.
Then just two more quickies. Slaves of New York, short story collection. I definitely got out from the library when I worked there and thought, wow, what a cool life a person could have living in New York and being bohemian. It's certainly not something I ever experienced. And again, also with The Outsiders, that was then, this is now, also by S.E. Hinton. Yes, we know, but thanks.
Wait, just to backtrack. When we lived in New York, we would order in salads that were like $12 sometimes.
That's true.
We're like, I don't want to eat, but I don't want to make anything, but I kind of want to eat, not shit. Let's get some Broadway cafe salads.
Yeah.
Put everything on them. Mm-hmm. And it costs $30 when it comes to the house.
Yeah.
$30 for two salads.
Yes. What a time. Next time, we'll be talking about the fashion, etc., of the July 1990 issue. Wear a swimsuit. Also sunscreen and fix your hair. For my plug this week, this is old because I wrote it when we were originally going to record this, but the feature film duology Ted has a prequel series set.
Sorry, I'm going to have to cut you out there. We don't look back.
All right.
No, so moving on. Next time!
No. Hey. And you can find that at Crack.
Yep.
Whatever that was.
Yep.
Maybe. I don't know if they have archives. Maybe they don't look back.
I don't look back, so I don't remember working on this film that got nominated for an Academy Award. But did you see Nimona? It's on Netflix. Hey! It got nominated for an Academy Award. That's exciting.
Hey! Woo! Historically, you know who didn't look back? Julius Caesar. And that's why he's dead. That's my plug for Julius Caesar. Look back. Don't get stabbed. What are we even doing here anymore? All right. You can follow Tara on social at Tara Ariano. You can follow Pam at Pamela Ribbon. You can follow this show right here at Listen to Sassy. You can support us on Patreon to keep the lights on here. It is $5 a month. Gets you a whole bunch of great perks, including access to the Discord, where you can talk to us and your fellow podcast listeners, or support us for free. Rate and review us on the podcast app that you're using and help other listeners find us. Shout us out on social. Tell your friends, tell your families, tell that one weird kid down the street.
720 Sassy Go, give us a call. If you had this pullout and you also spent an entire summer trying to mark everything off, let us know how that went.
Yeah.
What changed your life? We will probably play that in a future Slumber Party episode. You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for us at listentosassy.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye! Great menstrual scenes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.